everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it's Monday, September 14th, and we just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday night tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. Welcome all you listeners out there, especially those of you joining us for the first time. You hear us calling this show the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We don't call it that for no damn reason. I will tell you why. But first, let me tell you a number of ways that you could support this show. And the number one way you can do that is by heading over to Patreon, searching for Mega Powers Radio, where for as little as $1 a month, that's no money for most of you people out there, because, you know, if you're making $15 an hour at McDonald's, I can't imagine what the rest of you professionals out there are doing these days. Please, give generously. Help us keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio Studios so that we can bring you shows like the Raw Post Show, the Daceman Show, the All Talk Show, which finally made its revival this weekend. Hopefully we'll be seeing an Addicted to Anime soon, and who knows what else might be in the pipeline. We always try to bring you top-notch content here on Mega Powers Radio. You can also support us by joining us live here every single Monday, and also subscribing to us on the number of ways. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found, and links to all those can easily be found on our home on smarkoutmoment.com. While you're on those places, please leave a rating and a review. Tell the world what you think about us, because the more reviews we have on there, it actually helps us climb the charts where more people will find us, and we can just keep on growing and get more people listening and giving their opinions involved on the show. And if you want to do that, get yourself in line on the phones with the number, area code 760-512-7247. Or you could also join us via Skype by clicking the Skype icon at the top of the page. You could also join us via the chat room, which has already got a few folks hanging out. Shout outs to the guys that got here early. Five Times Combo, Kaylin, Ferris, Chaotic, and Wazili. Thank you, guys. We also got Twitter. We'll be taking comments using the... At Raw Post Show. I couldn't even remember what our freaking thing was. Of course, At Raw Post Show. And we also have the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Freaking 50 ways for you guys to get involved. There's no excuse. If you're shy and you don't want to have your voice on the air, you could type it out using all those things. So get your opinions about what you thought about tonight's show. It's the final one on the road to Night of Champions. A lot of opinions got to be rolling throughout your guys' head, so please throw them towards us. Any questions you have, throw them towards us. Any tomatoes you got because you think we're terrible, throw them towards us. Whatever you guys want to have, get yourself involved by all those means. In the meantime, though, we will get the show started with the panelists we got here. Me, who've been rambling on for the first few minutes here, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me tonight is my usual cast of gents. First off, the host of Addicted to Anime, Mr. Steven Juego.
Hey, thanks for having me after a very underwhelming Raw, but I know we'll have a lot more fun here.
If you heard the banter we had before we started rolling here, you could bet we're already in one of our moods.
Yeah, pretty much.
Also joining me is the man of smarkoutmoment.com and the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Tony Mango.
Are we just going to roll past the idea that Peyton said about five times that he wanted people to throw things?
Good catch.
And now you're talking about catches?
I don't really care what happens after the throwing.
As long as the throw is good.
As long as the throw happens. Like, the result could be anything. It could be a catch. It could be a bounce. It could be a complete whiffer.
Yeah, we're in a weird mood.
Yeah, well, it was a complete whiffer.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a complete whiffer. I'm seeing a lot of people out there with a very negative opinion on this, and I don't know, maybe it's just because of my undying tendency to try to be more positive, or if maybe it's just people are seeing things differently. I don't know. I didn't think tonight's show was too bad. I didn't think it was like, holy shit, call everyone and tell them they got to go back and watch these 3 hours of television because they're historic and awesome. But I wasn't like in pain. I wasn't like, oh God, could this be over already? But let me ask you guys, what's your feeling after this? And what's the number one thing you took away from the show? Wago, you already bounced in there a little bit on it. So why don't you follow up?
Well, how do I feel? Quite underwhelmed. And I think that's the number one thing I took away from this. This was a very underwhelming show as far as leading up to Night of Champions. I don't think it did a good job of promoting that show. The main event title match, maybe, but I think they made a hell of a lot more mistakes there too. But we'll get into that later.
Now, Tony, what's on your mind then?
You know, I'm kind of in the middle between the two of you. I didn't hate this episode by any means, but I really don't have a whole lot of positives to say about it either. Like, I guess if Wago's saying he's underwhelmed because he expected more for a go-home show, I'd agree with that. But at the same time, you know, I've had so many more episodes of Monday Night Raw that have been just terrible that I've watched that this is excusable.
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing that you've just lowered your standards because, like, well, I thought all these were so bad that I'm okay with this, but...
Yeah, that kind of speaks a lot of volumes, doesn't it? Especially when it comes to the whole idea that this is, like, the, I don't know, the season premiere kind of a thing. That's sort of like a 50-50 shot of, yeah, it is, but it isn't. So I'm going to give them some credit, and then at the same time, I'm going to argue against the idea. If this was the season premiere of a normal show, wouldn't be that thrilled to watch the rest of the season.
Well, let's talk about this then, because that was something they were promoting heavily. I don't officially understand why this is the season premiere, because didn't the first episode happen in, like, January 1993? Wasn't that the first episode of Raw?
I think the reason they're doing it is just for a promotional tool. What you've got to remember, last week, they got the lowest rating since the 90s. So they was probably in panic mode and just decided to roll out a new season.
No, it doesn't work. Like they actually always have it this time of year, every year.
Mm-hmm.
This is officially where their season starts. So it wasn't just like some random thing they pulled out of their ass.
The first episode was January 11th, 1993. Just look that up. And the reason why I would assume that they would do it around this time is because this is the time where all new shows, for the most part, are doing their season premieres. I mean, there are shows that pop up in October, there's mid-season, there's summer shows specifically. So there's a little bit of leeway room, but at the same time, like, this is the fall TV season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Walking Dead is starting. South Park starts this week.
The most important one.
I believe Sean pointed out Gotham starts next week.
Yeah, most TV shows are starting next week. So Monday Night Raw, they kind
of
go...
Football, well, of course. How can we fucking forget football? If you're on Facebook, you know football started.
Well, WWE ain't going to forget about it. They're going to get their ass kicked for a while.
Well, we may reap the benefits of that because you have to think maybe they're going to go extra hard trying to put on a good show to steer people towards their product.
Oh, you mean like tonight?
Well, listen. You can say that, but they did bust out some guns tonight. I mean, they brought freaking Sting on the show.
Yep, and they botched it, but as I said, we'll get into that when we get into it.
Well, we will indeed. We want to hear what all you out there got to say, though, what you thought about tonight's show. We got, like, as I said, we got the chat room, there's the phone line, Skype, Twitter, at Raw Post Show, the Facebook group, the Mega Maniacs. Shout-outs to some more folks in the chat room here. I forgot to shout-out Sean, our good friend Sean Walker. He joins us from time to time here in the show. He's in the chat room there. Creep Us on the Radar joined us as well.
He did it on purpose, Sean.
Fucking, oh, that fucking wanker forgot me.
Direct quote from before we started. Fuck Sean, I'm not going to say anything about that guy.
All right. So, you go ahead and talk about the involvement of Sting, because that has to be one of the biggest things that they had on tonight. In fact, the thing they advertised before they went on the air was that the Authority were going to start the show and that they were going to have a historic announcement. And without saying much about it, that whole segment there at the start of the show was... blah. I mean, they did this last month at the go-home show to SummerSlam, where Stephanie and Triple H were out there promoting each match, and they actually had a really fun back and forth with the crowd. This one really fell a lot more flat. The best part of this whole thing was when they were dancing with New Day, which I want to talk about that, but I want to talk about that when we're talking about that match. Instead, the more important thing I want to say is that they set up Sting being in the main event tonight against Big Show, and the whole night we were getting these video... reflections of Sting moments that he had in WCW and his first couple times coming into WWE. They had his match against Hogan at Starrcade, his match against Ric Flair, a Great American Bash. Really, really good videos they pulled up to teach you about the career of Sting, and they really did a good job building this up. And then they just had a 3-minute match, which the 3 minutes they did were cool, really old school. They did the 10 count punch in the corner, but unfortunately this got ended early with Seth Rollins running out, causing a disqualification, him and Big Show ganging up on John Cena. This leads to a tag match play as John Cena runs out to the ring for the save. And from there, this was just blah, typical Raw tag match. It took a moment that was truly special with Sting, and it made it just feel like another week of Raw. And I'm assuming that's where you're hurting on this, Wago. So why don't you take on that?
Well, first off, regarding the opening segment tonight, I think they really need to decide what the authority is. Are they babyfaces or are they heels? Because in the same night that Triple H is brushing off his old DX catchphrases, he is then protecting the WWE heel champion who previously he was punishing. So I really don't get what the decision behind that is. Maybe there'll be more to it later, but if Triple H is meant to be playing a big heel role at a WrestleMania, they need to figure out one direction and take it with him. In regards to what happened with Sting tonight, I thought the delivery of all the hype towards it was fantastic. But as soon as I realized it was the Big Show who he was facing, I worried. I thought it was going to expose Sting, and it did. Time catches up with everybody. It has with Sting, and with the right guy, he can still look good. Big Show wasn't that guy. So you've got that match which is cut short, so they've kind of botched Sting's first match as it is. It was a sloppy and clunky match, and then it got wrapped into a generic tag match, and now he's just another guy on Raw. Sting should have never been in the ring tonight. Sting should have been kept till Night of Champions. They exposed him, he looked bad, and we got a bad main event because of it.
Now, if you had told me in 1996 that in 2015, in the main event of Raw, it was going to be Sting versus the Giant with Charles Robinson as the referee, I never would have believed you. Never, ever.
You probably would have said, who the fuck are you and why do you know my name? We didn't know each other in 96.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Tony, your thoughts about Sting's Raw debut of sorts.
All right, well, if you were going to tell me that Sting was going to have a 3-minute match as a tag match on Monday Night Raw, I would have thought 3-minute warning would have popped up. So I'm a little bit disappointed in that. And I'm also a little bit disappointed that you're going to have the Authority announce that they're going to do this major announcement, and there's nothing about Bram. What the fuck? I'm so used to these major, you know, history-making announcements being about these, you know, Gunner re-signing and shit. It's a little bit weird when you actually hear that, like, an important guy might wrestle.
I half expected Tito Ortiz to just walk out onto the ramp and cross his arms and then fade to black.
Yeah, then never show up again. Was that him or was that Kimbo Slice?
Or was that both? I think Kimbo Slice, Rampage Jackson, and Tito Ortiz, like, never did anything else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they both made one appearance and were like, okay, enough of this shit.
Oh, Kimbo, like comedy shit.
Kimbo's still on their roster, but I only think it's because they forgot to take him off.
As far as Sting getting in the ring, I like the idea that he wrestled tonight, and it wasn't really great or anything like that. So the end result, it doesn't necessarily justify the means, but at the same time, I know what they were going for, and I appreciate it. Sting can't win at Night of Champions. I just can't see this happening. And the way that they booked him at WrestleMania, if he were to lose WrestleMania and at Night of Champions and have a 0-2 record, I don't really give a shit about Sting anymore. So they had to have him wrestle in some capacity tonight. So he ends up getting a win, looks a little strong going into the Night of Champions, and then he can lose. Now, putting up against Big Show, kind of a good idea. They've had a little bit of chemistry in the past with WCW. Having him go up against a huge guy like that is much better than if he would have been fighting, I don't know, Heath Slater. And, you know, Big Show's kind of been a part of the Authority, like, as an outsider, so that makes a little bit of storyline sense, too.
Now Sting not just has a 1-1 record, now he has a 2-1 record. So that's something significant.
That's true, because he won by DQ and the tag match.
Yeah, so now he doesn't look like a complete weenie with an 0-1 record.
Well, at least they've redeemed him somewhat.
I gotta say, my bigger problem with this, why is he wrestling with a shirt on?
Because he's old and he's ugly.
Yeah, but, well, more importantly, why didn't he come out with his jacket? And why doesn't he come out with better theme music?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he come out with better lighting? Why don't they try?
Why don't they slow down?
They need to slow down.
Why don't they send me more Sonic Shake?
And fix down the goddamn lighting and have a grip like that Danny Hodge.
I was going to say, why didn't he wrestle Danny Hodge?
All right, folks out there, if you have any thoughts about Sting's Raw in-ring debut or anything else they went and did on Raw tonight, give us a call on our phone lines, area code 760-512-7247, or drop your thoughts in the chat room there.
Sting in the ring.
Creepers on the radar saying Triple H is just trolling Sting, sending out the big slow.
Oh, did you guys see that graphic? Talking about this in the Mega Maniacs chat that we have, which if you guys aren't on Mega Maniacs Facebook group, you definitely need to be in there. The graphic that they were showing for Sting versus Big Show looked terrible.
Was it?
The little part at the bottom of the screen, the little like lower third that they have.
Part of it. Yeah. So not like the guys themselves, but just the text.
Yeah, the guys themselves, that was fine, because that's just like, you know, they just take a picture, get rid of all the white shit, and you know, it's fine, or green screen or whatever they use. But the little like section that should say, you know, Sting versus Big Show or whatever, instead of having the normal text, they had Sting's logo, but it looked like they just took like this random JPEG that they had, like this blurry kind of JPEG, and they didn't crop out the edges of it perfectly. And then they had like this random versus where it looked like they took one of the backgrounds from like 2012's Markout Moment and put it on there.
And the I was gonna say they probably like searched Google image search to get the Sting logo.
Yeah, it was really just, like, really shitty compared to their normal stuff. Like the graphics on Raw are amazing now, and you know, usually they're moving too. Mm-hmm. This was static.
It was a last minute thing after they realized they spelled Sting wrong.
It might have been. It felt like that, but it was just like, this is the kind of crap that like I can flat out say I would have done a better job at that. And they blew me out of the water in every possible way in everything in WWE.
Well, I was almost going to say, following up what Wago said there, maybe they didn't know this match was going to happen. Maybe they like weren't sure what Sting was going to do exactly. Maybe they didn't know if they were going to have him wrestle at all, or if they did, they didn't know what opponent he was going to have.
I think if they were going to do that, they could have just kept the normal one that they use for the people that they don't have special graphics for. This was like they went out of their way to make one, and it was just bad.
Right, it was a special slide.
Yeah, so bad marks for the guy whoever did that.
Probably some intern down at Full Sail. Probably don't even pay him.
I'm going to blame Kevin Dunn.
Poor guy.
Well, it probably was Kevin Dunn, and he'll probably blame it on one of the fucking Full Sail guys. I left him alone with the computer for 5 minutes. Fucked it up.
So we go, I left him with the computer for 5 minutes.
Wait, that sounded like Wade Barrett sucking on a lollipop.
Wade, why are you making these graphics?
Well, you're not letting me wrestle. What am I supposed to do? All right, folks, if you want to get your opinions about the show, as I said, join us on the phones, chat room, Twitter, Facebook group, all those places. We're going to start taking on the phone calls, opening them up, and we're going to start with a caller from the 646. I believe this is our good friend, Aisha. Aisha, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, guys? I didn't call last week because school started, and Monday night, school night, so I had to go bed early.
Oh, it's cool. I believe it was the holiday last week as well, so you know, everyone was doing their thing. But good to have you back this week. Well, what'd you think about tonight's show?
For all, I just thought it was very solid. At some parts, it was very enjoyable. In some parts, I scratched my head too, and I'm like, why? But it didn't really build up much of the Night of Champions, but overall, it was still enjoyable.
I think they got some stuff in there, but most importantly, what they did tonight is that they had the Raw in-ring debut of Sting. What'd you think about seeing Sting tonight on Raw?
Yeah. Well, that's very nice for a 50-year-old, he can still go.
Well, that's something to say, at least. Well, I know you are also a big fan of Sasha Banks, as I am. She got a little bit better of a treatment tonight as she has the last couple weeks of Raw. We've been horribly offended of what they've done with her. What'd you think about not just her, but everything for the Divas tonight? Because we also had that big match with Nikki and Charlotte for the Divas title with Nikki's record on the line for it.
Dude, I got a lot about to say about this. Well, first of all, I gotta praise my girl Sasha. Mm-hmm. Standing like she always do, and I know her and Bayley were gonna have that Iron Man match, main event in the next kingdom.
Hell yeah!
NXT Takeover comes back. Mm-hmm. And that is a Divas revolution right there. And this current Divas revolution in the main roster, it's not working. And what they did tonight, I'm like, okay. Charlotte and Nikki, all right, we're going to go and do a good match. And it was a good match. And I'm like, and when Charlotte went, I was like, yes, but I knew some fucking was going to happen. And they had to pull off this shit. And I'm just like, wah, 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 wah.
I understand the frustrations.
Nikki, whatever. I'm not mad that she's the one who's going to be the champion. Like, whatever. Just that. He kind of gives it to, Sasha or something.
Well, it doesn't mean Sasha won't take it down the line. It's not like it's an impossible thing to break again.
Yeah, not that long. I'm definitely being biased. I'm being biased, but, whatever. These people complaining about AJ's record or whatever, we all knew what's going to happen, so why are you complaining?
I knew this was going to happen, 4 or 5 months ago. So I don't know why people are shocked.
Whatever.
Well, you have any other thoughts about tonight's show?
Let's see. New Day being hilarious.
Oh, yes.
I love New Day. Oh, man. So they should, I'm hoping, I think they're going to retain as Night Champions with the Dudley Boys, but I'm hoping with the Dudley Boys coming back, I hope the Phantom and Pride Templates, we can have a TLC 3 match. Hopefully down the line, so I'm anticipating about that, but probably knowing that it will probably never happen, so let's hope that happens, but we'll see what happens.
Aisha, your high point and your low point for tonight's Raw.
Okay, I'm not going to be out of the ordinary. My high point is my high point. I rewind that like 10 times. That was so funny. Oh my god. That was hilarious. But and then my last point was definitely the ending of that Divas match. It's like, well, whatever.
A lot of people hot about that. A lot of people very upset about the ending of that. All right, Aisha, we're going to keep the ball rolling here on the Raw Post Show. Always good to hear from you. Have a good night. Get some sleep. It's a school night.
All right. Thank you. And you guys have a good night. And
I'll probably
catch up with you guys.
I cut you off a little earlier. What was that you said?
Oh, I would say I might catch up with you guys for the next break I have during school. So it's going to be a while.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Good luck with school. Getting your studies done is super important, so definitely focus on that. We'll talk to you then, Aisha. You have a good night.
All right. Thank you,
too. All right. Another cool call we had here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. If you want to get your voice heard, dial in with your phone 760-512-7255. 1-800-273-8047. You could also join us via Skype, or if you're afraid to put your voice on the air, you could also join us via the chat room, via Twitter at Raw Post Show, via the Facebook group The Mega Maniacs. Tons of ways to get your voice heard on the Raw Post Show. Bringing the conversation back to us hosts here, we already talked a bit about Sting's in-ring debut on Raw. Let's talk about some of the other big things that happened tonight. We had a tag team title match, The New Day versus the Primetime Players. New Day defending their titles that they only got very recently. The winner of this match would go on to face the Dudley Boys at Night of Champions. But before this match even got started, the fun was already happening. The New Day came out while the Authority, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon were still in the ring. And they goat them into the ring to start dancing with them. And Stephanie, right away, she starts dancing like, you know, she's the drunk white girl out there or something. She's just having a good time. And then she's like,
Woo!
Who wants to go swimming?
This is the best night ever. We're all immortal.
And she's like, Hunter, come on in. And Hunter, like, he steps out of the ring and just, like, resting on the ropes, like, oh, God, here we go again. Come on, Hunter, you never take me dancing. This will be fun. Bensley gets him in there, and then Triple H starts shaking his groove thing, Big E style. Tons and tons of fun there. Tony, could you get into Triple H's dance moves?
I'm going to spoil my good for the night. It's this. And I thought that that was going to be like a great sign of the show to come, that everything would be that amazing. But sadly, it topped at the very beginning of this, because Triple H and Stephanie dancing with the New Day is one of my favorite things that I've seen this year in wrestling.
Fun moment. And as you're talking about the annoyances of them bouncing between baby faces and heels, that wasn't a fun babyface moment. And the funny thing is that they're both sort of supposed to be heels. New Day and the Authority both are.
Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it's so weird to see it. And you gotta love it, because Triple H just looked goofy as all hell. And his face before he started dancing was great too, because he looked at her just like, the fuck? Man, kind of fun.
And another thing about, like, hard to believe if telling yourself in the past this is coming in the future, like a year ago thinking that Triple H and Stephanie would be in there dancing and partying with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
And that Big E's like best thing that he'd be doing would be going around on a Segway yelling booty.
Well, yeah. Well, to the actual tag match, New Day defending their titles against Primetime Players. Not a bad tag match to get the show started off here. The main story about this was Xavier Woods continuing to play the distraction on the outside, especially with his trombone. In the end, this caused enough of a distraction to allow Big E and Kofi Kingston to hit the bigger ending. I don't know if that actually has an official name, but it's Big E doing the big ending with Kofi hitting that DDT off the middle rope. Pretty cool ending for a tag move, I guess. Anyway, they get the victory here, successfully defend their tag titles. 3D comes out to taunt them a little bit, saying, don't forget about us. You got us on Sunday. And that's our lead into our tag match for Sunday. New Day against Team 3D. Wago, where are you sitting on this match?
As far as the match quality goes tonight, it was an average tag match and it did the job. This should have opened the show. I don't think the Authority segment this at the beginning of the show accomplished anything more than what the announcers could have done. So, solid match by both guys. The right people won. And I think the New Day are just as important as the Dudley Boys as far as the tag team division goes right now. And I'm leaning...
Takes four to tango.
I'm leaning to say... Yeah, it could just be a one-team show, but I think they've got a big part in this. They might be the best heels in the company right now. No one solicits a reaction more than the New Day right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, they might also be the worst heels because they're getting more cheers than anything.
Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. Their shtick gets over now and again, but when there's another babyface team opposing them, typically the fans side with the babyfaces. Just because it's fun to get the reaction of the New Day freaking out because something bad happened.
But I think it's hard to say just because there aren't enough babyface tag teams that are over enough for that to really happen. The only one I can really think of at this point is the Dudley Boys.
But right now, I think this feud could be an ongoing one for several months, and I hope it is.
This is going to like Survivor Series easy.
Oh man, they could do a tables elimination match if they got a third guy for their team. That'd be sweet.
They could always just add another Dudley.
Didn't the Dudleys come out with someone like... Am I forgetting something? Or did we just talk about that? Yeah, because they came to the defense of El Torito. So they could have El Torito as their third member.
And they had R-Truth pretend to be Devon at the beginning of the year.
Oh, please don't do that again.
Truth Dudley.
I mean, anything's better than bringing back Spike. Or even worse, if they went really into the, like, crypts of ECW and found Big Dick Dudley. I wonder what that guy's doing these days.
They'll probably just snag Cesaro. They'll probably just snag Cesaro because they know he's capable.
Is that a little harsh?
See, I was going to say something like, oh, he's probably, like, driving a fucking school bus in a bad inner city area or something. Just meth. the big quote out of this match for Xavier Woods, don't you ever touch my trombone. It's a very, very important life lesson, guys. Three things you never touch of another man: his wallet, his woman, and his trombone. Never touch his trombone. I worry about this getting a little burnt out. I see him constantly doing the thing with the trombone, and Big E doing that hip grinding dance was like funny once. But he's doing it every week, and it's the same dance. And I feel like it's one of those things they saw him do once. Like, oh, that was funny. Do it all the time now.
You're not meant to like it.
I think it's supposed to make you feel awkward.
And guess what? You're not meant to enjoy the trombone either.
Oh, what are you talking about? People love the trombone.
They love it now. Wait till he does it excessively every single week after week after week. It'll become annoying. And it will be a heat magnet, and it's perfect. But
the thing is, he's not doing it that way, though. He's doing it in ways to get the people to chant with the New Day chant. He's doing it while Kofi Kingston's going to do the kick. People are loving it.
I think you're going to see a change.
I hope so. And again, this is another thing that I'm saying, where they're great performers, but they also might be the worst heels in the company because they're playing with the crowd way too much. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Or are they brilliant because their characters are supposed to be people that want the crowd to like them. It's the whole power of positivity. And no, you're supposed to chant New Day Rocks, guys. New Day Rocks, right?
It's essentially what Bo Dallas's character originally was.
Yeah, just better.
This is some like third level fucking Fury shit that we got to figure out. I think we got to get Raven involved to help us figure with this stuff.
We got to get Chris Nolan to figure out the Inception map of like how the New Day works out in WWE. Whatever they're doing, it's fucking great. I love it. Big E moving around like a lava lamp and Xavier Woods, you know, denying me of the pun of doing a woodwinds thing.
Regardless of if they're good or bad heels or faces, we can all agree that they're fucking entertaining right now.
They are entertaining. My worry is, where do they go from here?
Through a table.
And then what?
Baby faces in a couple months.
I think you probably won't see it till after Mania. A turn with those guys? I don't know.
And here's the, I feel if they did do that, people wouldn't cheer them anymore. Like, yeah, these guys are cursed. They're like originally baby faces as a group. People boo the shit out of them. Now they're supposed to be heels. Everyone's cheering along with them. And if they go back to being baby faces, people are going to boo them again.
And if that works, then they should just kind of keep doing what they're doing, right?
I think they should, as long as it does work. I just wonder what the shelf life is. I hope it's good. It's good and long. I just don't know if it will be.
And let's also not count out the fact that they might evolve the act.
This is true.
They've evolved it a couple times already, so chances are in a year's time, if the New Day is still together, it's going to be a different New Day to what we're seeing now.
What if they like still decide to pull the trigger and just go into some like really like ruthless black powered type group?
Malcolm X kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Unless they get a new mouthpiece for the group, that's not going to work. I don't think the fans will buy into it because of how far they've gone with the comedy shtick. It's one thing to go from a babyface to a heel with that, but if you're already a comedy heel, it's a lot harder to convert to something more serious.
So let's talk about one big thing that's happening here. This has been a year since they've been the New Day. Not quite new anymore.
When do they become the Day?
Yeah, the current day.
Because remember, even Seth Rollins used to be the future, and now he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was the original day for them to be the New Day?
Morris Day? I
I think I broke Mike.
I know there's something here. Like, there had to be some wrestler who had, like, you know, Freddy Friday or some shit like that. Some jobber had that name. I don't know. If not, then I'm going to make one of my freaking universe mode. Then I'll say, there it is. He lost to the Thundercocks. All right. So we had another title match tonight. This one was for the Divas title. A lot of controversial opinions on this one. Before the match, we had this backstage interview with Charlotte and Daddy Ric Flair. Charlotte had all these jewels on her face. Besides that, not looking too good.
Okay, Charlotte, what do you think about this match? Woo, 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 woo.
All right, let's see what Daddy thinks. Well, let me tell you something. Woo, 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 woo. All right, back to Charlotte.
Woo.
Fucking, I hate her act.
It's really bad. Every time she talks, it honestly makes me happy that we got the result that we got tonight. To the match itself, it wasn't a bad match, actually. The performance itself, from bell to bell, it was a good story told there. They were playing up this arm injury from that Charlotte got early on in the match. Funny it would turn out that way eventually. Nikki would keep working on it throughout the whole match, but this would eventually end when Alicia Fox interferes, causing a distraction, allowing Brie to sneak in. Twin Magic making its return in this match, but it backfires as Charlie rolls up Brie for the pin, thinking she's won the match. She's celebrating, holding the title high. She's crying. Team PCB is gathered and they're hugging. Ric Flair comes down to celebrate with his daughter. So happy for her. The fans are going nuts, but it's all a ruse. Stephanie McMahon comes out and informs everyone that she cannot let the Divas Revolution go down like this, and that she is going to be reversing the decision. When Brie Bella got in the ring, it causes a disqualification, and of course, the title could not change hands on a DQ, so therefore, while Charlotte won, Nikki Bella keeps the title and is now going to break the record for the longest reigning Divas champion. People are hot about it. The crowd instantly was pissed. Like, you don't hear heat like that come out very much anymore. You have to go back to, like, 70s, 80s era shows to hear heat like that. The moment I heard that, I was like, wow,
masterfully done. And you know what that means? It means it was the correct decision.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was fantastically booked. There was no reason for her to win the title tonight. And now they've added so much more meaning to that match come the pay-per-view. This was the best booking decision they could have made. The only thing that I'd criticize is they should have gave it more time. They should have milked that celebration. I mean, they should have gone the full works, dropped some fucking confetti down, and then strip it away.
Yeah, that would have been great. I got a lot of reminiscences of the Chris Jericho Triple H match they did on Raw years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very similar feeling to that. Tony, you're on board too. Then you think this was the right thing to do?
Earlier today, I wrote an article, about how I think that Nikki Bella should retain the title. So I was definitely on board with her retaining it tonight through whatever means. You know, it didn't really matter to me. But I think that they did the right choice here, and my only gripe would be how they did it. They did this exact same finish way too recently.
I felt like I've seen this. And the same thing where, like, even when, like, Brie is pulling the paper tissue out of her bra, it's like, did we just see this, like, in the last year?
Yeah, it was, I think, Paige beat Nikki on, like, I don't know, Elimination Chamber or something like that, or Money in the Bank. And, you know, at the time, that was like, oh, it's a really innovative way to end this match. And, man, it would have fit so much better here, but they already did it. And I'm like, shit, they could have thought of a different type of thing. And if they would have had that, you know, some other kind of an ending work before and pulled this out now, I'd absolutely love it. It would be fantastic. But they're just repeating the same thing that they already did. So I don't know if that was like that they forgot that they did that, or if they just couldn't think of anything better, or if they were like, damn, let's hope that everybody forgot that we did this because we liked that.
I have a feeling most people, besides like the biggest of wrestling nerds, aren't going to remember that. Even though it was recently. Like, first off, people don't remember stuff more than 3 months ago. And beyond that, people certainly aren't paying attention to what the hell goes on in the Divas matches.
And in fairness, if the Divas know they got away with it once, where the referee didn't even disqualify them, of course they're going to try it again.
This is true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, okay, so I want to talk about something else. A lot of people are pissed because now Nikki Bella is going to beat the Divas title reign. And I'm perfectly okay with that. We've debated about this before, whether she should or not, whether she should take that away from AJ Lee, whether they're doing this for the right reasons. Listen, I think Nikki Bella is a talent, whether she's the most deserving talent, we could discuss that. But I am perfectly okay with her taking it. A lot of people are upset because they think, well, Charlotte should have gotten the rub from stopping her from getting it. Yeah, okay, I see that. But now think of it this way. Now she's getting her rematch at Night of Champions, and if she beats her then, she's beating the longest reigning Divas champion of all time. Mm-hmm. And that means significantly more.
And I'll argue, I put this in the article that I wrote too, if she would have beaten her tonight, would anybody really care in a couple weeks?
Nope.
Mm-mm. And it would have just ended up making it to where Nikki Bella doesn't get that accolade. Now, I'm not the biggest Nikki Bella fan in the world, and I actually like AJ Lee better, but AJ Lee's not in the company anymore. And for all we know, AJ Lee might never be in the company anymore. She's not in the best position where she's married to a guy who is basically shit-talking WWE constantly and has a lawsuit involved with it. So WWE's making the smart decision here. The Bella Twins are the brand in the Divas division right now. Mm-hmm. Nikki Bella's improved quite a bit. She's dating John Cena, so obviously there's a little bit of political pull there, but you know that's not going to be the end-all be-all.
And we may not like it, but Total Divas has a wide audience.
Damn right it does. I know a buddy of mine, his fiance, she doesn't watch wrestling whatsoever. And I brought it up, you know, last time I was hanging out with everybody, and she was just like, wait, does that mean that you watch Total Divas? Because I love that show. And I was just like, yeah, it does. But we talked for a good while about how, you know, these people are bitches and all this kind of stuff. She loves the show, but she doesn't watch Monday Night Raw. She doesn't watch pay-per-views. She certainly doesn't watch SmackDown. Has no idea what the hell NXT is, really, you know. But, you know, the Bellas are the brand in WWE right now. There's no denying that whatsoever. So why shouldn't they be the one that ends up, you know, having that accolade? That's going to be something that carries around Nikki's career forever now.
You know, and what this is? This is Triple H all over again. Triple H worked his ass off to get everything he got, to get all the titles that he got, to get that time carrying the brand that he did. But no one ever gave him the respect for it that he deserved, because everyone's just like, oh, he only did it because he's married to Stephanie.
And I think
everyone's
a lot
doing
of people
the same thing to her now because, oh, she's just banging John Cena.
Well, Michelle McCool got a lot of backlash for the similar thing. She was dating Taker around the same time that she was ruling the women's division. And it sucks. It happens often. My attitude with this, as far as Nikki Bella goes, she's in the company. AJ Lee isn't. Why do you care if you tread on the feet of someone that's not only with you, who's not only not in your company, but has spoken against it multiple times? Fuck AJ Lee. She's not a priority. Nikki Bella's a priority. And if you can make your talent look any better than in any way, you should definitely do that.
And frankly, if there hadn't been a diva to come around any sooner than the day before she breaks it that's deserving of taking it away from her, then there's no reason she shouldn't have held this title all this time. Because up until very recently when they brought all these new girls up, who the hell else should have held that title?
Mm-hmm.
No answers here.
No, you make a good point. Like, I don't think she's talented enough to be in the position that she is. But with that said, she's done the best she can with it, and she's kind of held that Divas division up on her own.
They could have just given, like, you know, Alicia Fox another meaningless Divas title run, I guess, or whatever. But at least, you know, Nikki comes out there. She looks, at least looks like a strong competitor. She can go out there and represent that title well, going out on the talk show circuit into charity events and all that. And, you know, especially, who's their number one guy they're sending out to those events? John Cena. And who's he going to have on his arm? Nikki Bella.
And you know what? As from a PR standpoint, she's proven to be reliable, so that's a fair nod to her and her sister.
Indeed. So I think we've made a fair defense for what went down with that match. There was another Divas match tonight. I guess we could talk about it. Paige versus Sasha Banks for, what was this, the third week in a row we saw these girls face each other? Luckily, this was the best of the three matches, but at the same time, that doesn't say very much. It wasn't great. It was good. It was fine. They went back and forth for a bit. This match ended with Tamina pulling Sasha out of the way while Paige went for a dive outside the ring. This allowed Sasha to regain control of the match, apply the bank statement for the submission win, and Sasha Banks doesn't look like a total piece of trash as she has in the last couple of matches. Cool.
Yeah.
I've got not much to say about the match other than I'm glad Sasha May is made to look a lot stronger. To be quite honest, it should be her and Charlotte wrestling in the main event for, well, wrestling game as far in the dive in the Divas title picture.
The diverticulitis division.
Yeah, there you go. Oh man, that'd be a great division. It'd just be fucking Jerry Lawler and Brock Lesnar.
Sasha has to be the next contender, right? Like the way the crowd is getting behind her and everything.
She has to, and especially after the performance she's probably going to give at TakeOver.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
She is one of them. Paige is probably the first opponent Charlotte should have, just because.
Storyline-wise, yeah.
Storyline-wise. Whilst Paige has claimed to start this revolution, it's been Flair that's got all the attention, so it works.
Becky will be the one that's like, guys, come on. No, I'll be friends. Ah, oh, crap, you're both going to beat me.
Oh, she's going to be the redheaded stepchild of the whole story.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the stepchild thing.
Well, it's the season premiere for Raw, and it was also the season premiere for Miz TV, having a very special guest, the Wyatt family. As soon as they come out, they tell Miz, well, Bray specifically tells Miz, you're not safe, don't sit down. This was fun, creepy little bit that they did here with the three of them there in this dark environment setting. I think Miz even made a comment about it. It's like, oh, you modified the lights. I like that. Kind of like awkward and unsettling. Eventually, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose come out, get into the faces of the Wyatt family. Dean Ambrose knocks out Miz and throws him out of the ring, which was a fun touch. They basically have one big message throughout this, and that is that they have a third man ready to fight at the six-man tag match that they're going to be having at Night of Champions. They didn't say who it was. I was kind of hoping that they were going to say it tonight because I really didn't want to have to wait, but good on them, because now it's more of a reason for me to have to tune in on Sunday to see who it is. I am intrigued. I'm going to be very disappointed at some possibilities it could be, but I'm really hoping they have something good up their sleeves here. Wago, what do you think about this segment?
I feel like they need to do more with The Miz. I think he's capable of so much more than just these fucking Miz TV segments. He's a very, very good heel. I know the fucking Ryback feud was a dud, but that was for several reasons other than The Miz.
It just kind of ended, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, too, but like it just kind of like ended out of nowhere.
That whole storyline got botched. It should have ended sooner. So, as far as the segment goes, it was interesting. It wasn't your typical Bray Wyatt segment, so I paid a little more attention to it. The interplay with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose was fun, and I'm not sure who they're going to get as their partner. Maybe it'll be Curry Man, maybe it won't, but I'm hoping they deliver.
Well, if it's Curry, they definitely deliver.
I swear That's to good. God, though, if it's fucking Eric Rowan, I am going to be pissed.
That is number one on the list of people that I will be disappointed with if that's who it is.
And as soon as I heard the announcement that there was going to have a mystery partner, I've been thinking it's going to be him. I really hope it isn't.
Could someone confirm to me that the injury he had is going to keep him out longer than it has been? Like, someone out there, please, in the chat room or on Twitter, tell me.
Or, like, hit him with your car.
Tony, anything?
I'll admit, I've had about an hour and a half's worth of sleep in 2 days, and I laid down right at the beginning of this. And by the time I heard the Wyatt family, like, as soon as they were coming out, the next thing I knew, I woke up and it was announcing that Sheamus was coming to the ring. I missed this entire segment. So it sounds like I didn't miss anything, which is good. But I might have to watch it back to see what this whole thing with the Dean Ambrose knocking out the Miz thing is, if that was funny. Either way, I can't imagine that this was something that was like, oh man, they dropped a huge hint or something like that, you know?
I don't think that there was any like hints or anything that would tell you who it is. Maybe we'll look back retrospectively when we know who it is and maybe see something. But again, with a lot of these things on Raw, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And that's something I'm going to say with this. This isn't something where you're looking for some record-breaking announcement or something deep. This was just a fun banter with all these characters in the ring, because how often do you get to see the Wyatt family together and The Miz? Like, that's not an interaction I expected to see very much.
And in fairness to them, their characters played off each other very well.
They did. They did. I actually hope they might do a feud sometime down the line.
Who would be the heels?
Both of them. I think their characters work better if Miz is a cowardly fuck and Bray's fucking with him.
Yeah, that could be fun. Yeah, in that case, I guess the Wyatt family would be kind of like in a tweener role.
Yeah,
which is probably what they should be anyway.
The fans would get more into fucking around with The Miz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to be quite honest, who doesn't want to see The Miz get like his comeuppance? He's perfect for that.
Yeah, that's exactly what his character is there for.
Hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't sound like I really missed anything, which is good, but it all is going to depend on what that third man is. And there's a couple different
what he is. Things.
Yeah, what he is. I mean, he could be a garbage man with that jumpsuit. He could be somebody who was put up on WWE.com. I have a theory about this that I'll break down when we get to our predictions later on this week, but I'm just going to say I'm intrigued.
Hmm. We got some comments in the chat room here about the Divas Revolution stuff that happened tonight. Wazili's saying Charlotte has a cool submission hold. That's it. 5x combo. Breaking news here from him. Did you guys know that Emma is Australian?
Because I like how he answered us, because I literally just found that out.
What I want to know is, what did you stumble across that you just found that out now?
Oh, you read a headline, Australian woman steals phone case again.
Oh.
Yes, so she's Australian.
That used to be a major part of her character, was that she was Australian. I mean, it's not like she came out like with a boomerang and was like, good day, mates.
Maybe she would have gotten over a little bit better, too, if she would have thrown a boomerang to pop all those bubbles. Some accuracy.
Oh, man, I remember William Regal on commentary. Oh, I love Emma. She'll make all your troubles go away like bubbles.
Hey, Bubba from the Backwoods is in the chat.
Borderline creepy. Oh, really?
Yeah, what's up, Bubba?
What's up, Bubba? We usually only see you on the All Talk Show.
At the somehow tables.
You always find us. Yeah, but get the table. Get the tables. Get the tables. All right. Well.
After a good start. That's not a table.
All right. Well, let's tone this down a bit. Let's talk about what was probably Tony's favorite thing of the night. John Cena versus Sheamus.
Fucking loved it. I'll actually give them credit. This was better than I was expecting it to be. I only watched about half of it because, like I said, I was waking up right when Sheamus was coming out. So I was like, oh, fuck. That's like the last thing I had to wake up to. And I was a little bit groggy and I was just kind of like, I really don't want to pay attention to this. But the part that I saw wasn't too bad. The ending kind of sucked. But I like Sheamus's new clover leaf that he's been doing. That's cool.
Not the way he did it tonight, though. Yeah. Or more importantly, maybe it was the way John Cena did it. No, my favorite was like Michael Cole had some kind of comment about it. He's like, oh, Sheamus with a modified version here. And it's like, yeah, it's his way of saying that it looks like shit.
Yeah, you know who else just looked like shit tonight? Fucking Sting's Scorpion Death Block. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad. Very bad. This match was really physical, though. I thought they went out there and had a really good performance tonight. Sheamus eventually lost this one. I thought the ending was actually a really good series of moves they did. Cena did this forward electric chair type thing into the STF. Sheamus gets out of it, goes for the white noise, but John Cena reverses it into an attitude adjustment for the pin. I thought it was a really, really good series of moves there. John Cena, the victor. Maybe that's just what you didn't like, Tony. Maybe I'm missing the point. Two guys that I would have thought going into this, I would have just tuned out, but they held my attention and had a fun match.
Shameful thing. Watch this match. Nah, it wasn't that bad. It was pretty much an average television match, and they accomplished what they needed to do. Fill time and keep the fans' attention on it.
Something that we talk about here and there that sometimes it's a little bit lost on people and you need a little bit of a reminder of it. We wouldn't get this match back in the 90s.
Oh, no.
So despite how it's not something that I'm a huge fan of and stuff, I have to admit, Sheamus is a guy that they book as being somebody who's not just a jobber. And if this were the 90s, this would be a pay-per-view match. Might not be a great pay-per-view match, but it would be.
This would be an in-your-house match.
Yeah. But, like, you know, so for a Monday Night Raw match, you look back on the past, not bad. Now, I'm not going to want to rewatch it, but you take that sort of perspective and you boost it up a little bit more. I'm a little bit more lenient on Sheamus tonight, so probably going to bitch and complain about him on Smack Talk.
You have to make up for it later.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Losing me points.
We have Ryback in the ring. He starts doing this Elvis impression of "All Shook Up." That was good, right? Way better than Ryback's, at least.
Jesus Christ, Ryback was terrible.
I think we were just talking last week, actually, about how much Ryback has improved, both in-ring and on the mic. He did not show that this week. His Elvis impression was bad. His interaction with the crowd was bad. His interaction with Kevin Owens was bad. Kevin Owens, who comes out, though, he was on his game. He brought out a copy of that book, The Secret, which was a book that Ryback referenced, had to have been a couple months ago, about being a major inspiration for him, making his recovery from his injury and staying positive. Kevin Owens calls that book a crutch for weak people, calls Ryback weak and delusional. It was not a terrible segment completely, but Ryback was certainly the weak link here.
I wouldn't even say that he was just the weak link. I thought Kevin Owens was terrible tonight too, at least by comparison to his normal work. Essentially, the conversation these two had were, "Fuck you, I'm positive. Fuck you, I'm still positive. Fuck you."
The worst comeback, though, is when Kevin Owens calls the book trash, and Ryback is like, "The only piece of trash I see is you, buddy." And Kevin Owens just like, yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, the only garbage here is you. Fucking idiot.
It's like, is that the best comeback you come up with, buddy? All right, here, watch this. an insult's done.
It felt bad because you felt bad for Ryback because he seemed to lack the mental capacity to argue.
He was so outclassed.
It was pretty so sad. Like, Owens comes out there and he's just kind of like, yeah, the secret, it's a crutch, and, you know, the weak individuals and whatever like that. And Ryback's like, fun is good. He's like, yeah, so anyway, what I'm saying is I'm going to beat you for the Intercontinental Championship because I'm better in the ring and, you know, better on the mic, and I have done more in my career in shorter time frame. He's just like, careers are tough, but I'm the master of feed me more. You're the master of your own chant? I hope so. Fuck. Come on, Ryback. If you're going to be a dumb character, at least start talking about the random tourist shit that you do.
I loved his fucking dumb stuff when it was just him having a good time.
Yeah, when he was going around being a bully to people.
Tonight was just awkward.
Well, they have their match at Night of Champions coming up. I hope the match was at least better than their interaction tonight, and I think it will be. As we said, Ryback has improved a lot in ring, which hopefully he doesn't have the same kind of outing as he did with his mic work tonight. Kevin Owens is always a treat, so I think these guys should have a fun Intercontinental title match. What do we think the outcome will be? You'll have to listen to the predictions episode of Smack Talk we'll be doing later this week. We're going to move our conversation on to what I thought was the messiest segment of the entire goddamn night. Stardust and the Ascension come out to the ring, followed up by Neville and the Lucha Dragons. They fight for like 30 seconds, and then Neville's music plays, and we go to commercial.
See, I gotta disagree with you.
What the fuck even happened?
I gotta disagree with you. This wasn't a segment.
Well, this certainly wasn't a match.
Goddamn right. What the fuck were they thinking with this?
I missed it. Was there even a referee there? Maybe I was just maybe I was delusional and I thought this was going to be a match and it wasn't. But I was definitely expecting this to be a match.
No, I'm pretty sure there was a ref.
Then what the fuck happened? Do countouts happen at two now?
You know, I joked about it in the chat, but I said about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was just like, I really want this 6-man tag to happen. And they were sort of hinting at it a little bit, but not too much. And I was just like, that would be a perfect pre-show match. Just throwing it out there. And when they introduced that this was going to happen tonight, I was just like, fuck, they're going to ruin what would have been a great pre-show match. Then about 10 seconds later, it's like, nah, we're not going to do the match. And I'm like, are they fucking reading this?
I think the ref zoned out, didn't realize where they were in the show, and just called for the guys to go home before the match even started.
He heard the ding, ding, ding at the beginning of it. He's like, all right, guys, leave. That's the end of the match.
Something definitely went weird here. Maybe they were short on time. They just had to rush something or... Because this was towards the end of the show.
I don't know, but I think it has something to do with Kevin Dunn, and they should fire him.
Oh, he definitely fired that guy. He's the reason this story sucked.
Wait, pair it with a lollipop. The image is awesome.
I believe I have some bad news. I don't know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
That could be his new finisher. The Tootsie Pop. He just pops you in the mouth.
Pop!
But he wish you could get a pop right now.
A one, a two, a three! Right in the face.
All right. Well, we got one final match to talk about tonight. Cesaro versus Rusev. Had the potential to be a great match, actually. I think these two were some of the better performers we have there, but they did not do that tonight. This was more about story, as Dolph Ziggler comes out to give a gift to Summer Rae with a bow on it, even. She initially rejects it, plays up the whole, no, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. No. No, I'm not taking it. No. So Dolph Ziggler just lays it down on the desk, walks away. This was enough of a distraction for Rusev to get beaten by Cesaro. Dolph Ziggler, after he's already beaten man, comes in and kicks Rusev in the face, adding insult to injury. And as if Rusev hasn't already had a bad night, as Summer Rae's consoling him with one arm, she grabs the gift with the other and hides it behind her back. How am I not feeling the most sympathy for Rusev here?
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler is a fucking asshole in the storyline.
But he was completely blatant going out there and giving the gift, too. It's not like it happened backstage. Like, he just comes out in the middle of the match like, here, but this is the best time.
Yep, and then he kicks the guy when he's down. Fucking asshole.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler's a total asshole.
This storyline's been booked so weird, and it makes you think there's going to be a double turn, but I don't think there is.
It has to.
I think they've just, have no idea what they're doing. I really think they've just fucked this up totally. Some of the worst booking for this whole feud in general. As far as the match with Cesaro goes, I liked how physical they got at the beginning of the match, but after that it just seemed to flounder.
Cesaro did finish the match with this really cool cradle roll-up pin where he had his legs hooked behind Rusev's head. That was neat.
Yeah, it seems like every time Cesaro comes out we're going, Cesaro did this really cool thing where, yet he still fails to get pushed.
But he doesn't connect with us at all.
No, not at all.
I thought that pin was weird.
Of course.
It looked like he was trying to do a different type of pin and rolled over. And, I know that that wasn't what happened. But it was like, I kind of want to do an inside cradle, but I kind of want to do a sunset flip. No, let's just go for a pin. Or, the two of them were playing Twister. And he just got fucked up.
Creep is on the radar in the chat room saying Ruru is really looking like a massive bitch in this angle. Not kidding. Rusev has not been the strongest person in this. And again, this has to lead somehow with him getting a babyface run.
Remember, guys, John Cena elevates you.
By the way, anybody should check out Up, Up, Down, Down. They had Rusev on there. Well, they, meaning Xavier Woods. It's not really a great episode. But the very best part of it is at the end of it, you know, you're usually going through like we do. We do our little plugs and stuff like that. And Xavier Woods is like, where can they follow you on Twitter? And he's like, huh? What? because he's in the middle of playing the game. He doesn't fucking pay any attention. He's like, I gotta follow you on Twitter. And he's like, oh, Rusev Bull, but only follow me. Don't follow Lana. It's like, good job, dude.
A completely unnecessary pop shot. You just like, right. Yeah, just throw that.
Yeah, he's like, an absolute not in character
or anything like that. And he's just kind of like, yeah, and fuck Lana. Yeah.
Like, Rusev would be considered the best heel right now if he didn't come off as the total babyface in the storyline.
Well, he did have one interesting tweet that he put out this week, and it was, in the end, it's okay. I forgive both Lana and Summer because they're only women.
We need to start having a Rusev tweet of the week.
Oh, that's a good idea. The Tong Po tweet of the week. Well, with that, guys, we're coming to the conclusion of running down the card on tonight's Monday Night Raw. Still some time to get your opinions out there, so if you want, drop them in the chat room or on Twitter at Raw Post Show. We got a few more things we're going to go through here. Well, actually, I failed. I didn't really see a commercial that stuck out to me tonight, and it's not even that I wasn't paying attention. I actually watched all the commercial breaks tonight, and nothing stuck out to me that I hadn't either focused on before for this or... I don't know. I just couldn't pick a favorite commercial, so there's nothing for that.
Tell you what my least favorite one was.
What was that?
For cricket. Got my share of that this week.
Wasn't that like those little like fuzzy things? Was that the cricket commercial?
No, that's like cricket's tribbles. A phone service.
No, I know, but wasn't that what the commercial was? Like it had these little things, they looked like tribbles.
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I wasn't paying that much attention. I just overheard cricket, and I was just like, no. Not again.
Oh, anything for you, Wago?
Nope. Nickelodeon.
All right. Well, then, we're going to head on to the games. I also don't have a Who Said It. That one's my failure. I totally bombed on that one. I just was not paying enough attention to hear any clever lines that I thought would work good for it. Maybe they popped up and I missed it, but I did not get one.
All right, I've got one for you guys.
Oh, well then.
In the middle of the match, Who Said... What the hell?
Booker T?
No. And it went, what the hell?
Xavier Woods?
No. Well, maybe, I don't know, but I'm thinking of something else.
A fan. Two fans. A jackal? Jackal.
Was it Darren awful. Young?
No, I didn't hear Darren Young say it. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
He probably did. What the hell?
Sheamus did. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He went for a pinfall.
What the hell? You know, yeah, that's right. He did.
Johnson kicked out.
And it was like with a very strong Irish accent, too.
Mm-hmm. That stood out to me. It was just like, huh.
Yeah, Cena should have probably just looked up at him and was like, you don't expect this by now?
Cena could have been like, you talk too loud.
All right, go to the ropes.
And...
All right, so I got a Who Said It. You want to talk about things that were very audible during match? Who said it? Come on, Nikki! Come on, Nikki!
What's worse? Come on, Nikki! Or, whoa.
You know what's worse? This is my house now!
See, another reason why Sasha's so great. She doesn't do any of this annoying shit.
She just, like, looks mad cute and then kicks lots of ass.
Right.
These are my glasses. They're bedazzled. This is your face. I'm assaulting it. And, yeah, I'm pretty cool.
All right. So, I don't have a Who Said It, really. We just kind of made that up on the fly there. I do, however, have a tap out.
However, ding.
Ding. My tap out this week is they were putting a lot of focus on Sting. And, of course, Sting is very affiliated with the Scorpion. You know, he has a move named after it. He has on his tights. A lot of his imagery uses a scorpion. So, my tap out this week goes to you fellas, is wrestlers that have an affiliation with animals. This could be either their name or it could be like a nickname or maybe they had an animal. However, I'm not including actual animals. So, like Matilda the Pug, for instance, or the Bulldog, I guess she was.
So, what about the Brahma Bull the Rock?
That would count.
That was going to be my first one.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Just so you couldn't have the satisfaction you prick.
Well, I do think Wago won last week, so he does go first, so that'll be his first one. So there you go. Tony, next.
Wait, so wait, am I going or?
Yep. Yeah, well, I'll count that as Wago's first one.
Talk okay. Road Warrior Animal. Mm-hmm.
The Animal Batista. Mm.
Road Warrior Hawk.
The British Bulldog.
Ric Flair.
Wait, what?
He was Black Scorpion.
Ooh, okay.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Dragons are animals. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The other British Bulldog, Dynamite Kid.
The Bushwhackers, because they were sheep herders.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Jamie Noble, Pitbull.
The Viper, Randy Orton.
The Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Shit, that was mine. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Fuck.
All right. Wow, Wago, 2 weeks in a row taking this one. All right. Well, that means Wago gets to choose how Tony is going to be delivering the plugs later on tonight. If you in the chat room have any ideas that you would like to hear Tony do the plugs in tonight, go ahead and drop them in the chat room there. Tweet them to us. Any suggestions? Wago is still getting the ultimate decision, though, but if you have one good enough, he might pick it. In the chat, we also had a few people participating. We have Wazili saying George the Animal Steel. Creep is on the radar saying Red Rooster. Wazili, Junkyard Dog.
Oh, man. El Torito.
El Torito.
Fucking man. Gobbledygooker.
Yeah, see, now they all come flooding into you when you're not in the hot seat.
Fuck all of those, and I came up with a sheep herders? Shit.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, what?
If you wouldn't have said fucking The Rock, I would have had that.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, with that, we're going to head into the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about the best part, the worst part, and the most god-awful, embarrassing part of Raw. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, go ahead and drop it in the chat room. In the meantime, let's do the host here. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
All right, so for my good, I'm stuck between either the Divas or going with the New Day, and I think I'm going to give it to the New Day because they performed tonight and they did very well. As far as the bad goes, and there was plenty of bad on the show, I'm just going to go with the botched debut of Sting. Well, not debut, first in-ring debut of Sting. Mm. And for the ugly, I have to go with the ongoing storyline with Rusev and Dolph Ziggler. Terrible, terrible booking, and we're submitted to it every week.
Mm. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I was going to give it to Nikki keeping the belt, but I think I still just have to give it to Stephanie and Triple H dancing with the New Day. Mm-hmm. New Day in general just are fucking great. The bad, that's tough for me to pick too. I have a couple things with bad and ugly that could go back and forth. So I think I'm going to go with Ryback singing. Man, that was really tough to watch, and they should never let him do that again. I know that he's trying to be like funny with it and whatever, it's not pulling it off, and it just belittles him. Ugly, that's going to go to the Neville Lucha Dragons Cosmic Wasteland thing. I don't know what the fuck was going on with that, but hopefully they'll be able to pick this up, make a good pre-show match out of it, and we can all forget that that happened tonight.
Well, I was actually worried that we were going to have the same good, bad, and ugly tonight. Wago was completely different. You and me were actually very similar, Tony. My good goes to Triple H and Stephanie dancing and clapping with the New Day. That was just so much fun, so enjoyable to watch. And it felt like a unique moment. You know, I feel like that's something that we're going to have on those highlight reels in the years to come. Bad, I'm actually giving that one to whatever the hell happened with Stardust and Ascension and Neville and Lucha Dragons, whatever the fuck that was. That was just confusing and messy. And my ugly is going to go to Ryback's Elvis impression. Me, as a person who grew up with a lot of Elvis records, listening with my mother and stuff like that, like, this was personally insulting to me. I don't even know, were they even in Memphis tonight? Like, why were they even, would they even think that that was going to go over? Like, Elvis is like, he died like 40 years ago. Like, I don't think people are going to get it, like, pretty much anywhere you go to, except for Memphis.
Like, he would have been better off if he talked about Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's all of our good, bad, and uglies. All we got left now is to tell all y'all about all the other stuff we got going on. And Tony lost Tap Out tonight, and Wago won, so he picks how Tony has to do the plugs.
I only got one suggestion, and I think it's way too insensitive to do it. However, I don't find Tourette's insensitive at all, so that's what I want you to do tonight.
Tourette's? How do I do it with Tourette's?
You ever watch Tourette's Guy?
I was just trying to think of how I could do this where it wouldn't just sound like normal.
Just do it like Sean does his plugs, with lots of cursing.
All right, if you can't do that one, I do have an alternative. Do the plugs as if you've got a small dog attacking your leg for the whole duration of it.
What? Attacking like full on biting, or attacking like annoying?
Bit of both.
Let's try this.
I want a cycle of pain.
I'm glad you didn't go with deaf man. All right, let's see. Hold on. All right, I think I moved that out of the way. Go to StephenWago.com. What the fuck? Seriously. God damn it. Go to StephenWago.com to check out everything that... Wait, fuck. God damn it. All right. Wago.com to check out what Stephen Wago's got going on here. Mick freaking Duncan. Jesus Christ.
Are you doing the Tourette's or the dog?
Both. I tried to combine them. See, I had a thing planned out with the deaf man where it would have been, all right, tell me when to go.
Well, at least the deaf man can't hear the show.
And then you would have said, all right, go, and I wouldn't have done anything. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to hear it. So this is a mess, so I'm just going to say them. ShaughnessyTwoK37, KeepingKayfabe.com, WWEFantasyLeague.com, SmartoutMoment.com, FanboysAnonymous.com. Get the fuck away from my foot, goddammit. AllTalkShow.com, and get these goddamn dogs on a leash.
Well, that was fun. All right, folks, thank you for joining us live here on the most interactive post-raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Find links to all of the archive forms at smartoutmoment.com. For Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, I am Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next week here on the Raw Post Show.